नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सथल्पतूर्णम् उत्थाय खालोऽयम् इति विबला सुतिगृहम् अकाथूर्णम् प्रस्खलन् मुक्तमूर्तजा Kamsa immediately got up from bed, thinking, here is Kala, the supreme time factor which has taken birth to kill me. Thus overwhelmed, Kamsa, his hair scattered on his head, at once approached the place where the child had been born. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Kala is significant. Although the child was born to kill Kamsa, Kamsa thought that this was the proper time to kill the child so that he himself would be saved. Kala is actually another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he appears only for the purpose of killing. When Arjuna inquired from Krishna in his universal form, "Who are you?" the Lord presented himself as Kala, death personified, to kill. By nature's law, when there is an unwanted increase in population, Kala appears. And by some arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, people are killed wholesale in different ways, by war, pestilence, famine, and so on. At that time, even atheistic political leaders go to a church, mosque, or temple for protection by God or gods and submissively say, God willing. Before that, they pay no attention to God, not caring to know God or his will. But when Kala appears, they say, God willing. Death is but another feature of the Supreme Kala, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the time of death, the atheist must submit to this Supreme Kala, and then the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes away all his possessions. Mrityu sarva harash chaham, and forces him to accept another body. Tata dehan tara prapti. This the atheists do not know. And if they do know, they neglect it so that they may go on with their normal life. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to teach them that although for a few years one may act as a great protector or great watchman, with the appearance of Kala, death, one must take another body by the laws of nature. Not knowing this, they unnecessarily waste their time in their occupation as watchdogs, and do not try to get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is clearly said, apraptyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Without Krishna consciousness, one is condemned to continue wandering in birth and death, not knowing what will happen in one's next birth. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, entitled The Atrocities of Kamsa, Text 3. Yogamaya, the divine internal spiritual potency of the Lord, was instructed by Krishna to play such an intimate and integral part of the pastime of Krishna's appearance. She transferred Balaram from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. According to Haribamsa, Gopal Champu, other such literatures, she transferred Krishna, who was born of Nanda and Yashoda, to Mathura. When Devaki prayed to Krishna, who appeared as Narayan at midnight in the cell, that please cover this majestic form, become like an ordinary child so that Kamsa will not so readily recognize you. At that moment, Yogamaya invisibly brought baby Krishna from Gokul to Mathura, and Narayan entered into his form. Then Yogamaya appeared personally as the younger sister of Krishna to Yashodamayi. Vasudev brought the original Krishna back to Gokul, traded him with Yogamaya. And Yogamaya Devi was in Vasudev's arms. He handed her over to Devaki. And in Mathura at that moment, all the doors locked, the chains again bound Vasudev and Devaki. Everyone woke up. Yogamaya, she had her mission, and she was doing it so thoroughly. She knew exactly what was going to happen. And she cried very loud to wake up everyone around. When the watchmen, that's how they woke up. They heard this baby crying. And immediately, they went to inform Kamsa. This was actually the most critical moment that Kamsa feared. He did everything he can to avoid this moment from ever happening. On the night of Devaki's marriage to Vasudev, that celestial voice from the sky said that, Kamsa, you are a fool. The eighth child of your sister Devaki will be the cause of your death. He immediately wanted to kill Devaki. But Vasudev convinced him, you have nothing to fear from Devaki. It's her eighth child. I'll bring every child to you. And the first child that was brought, Kamsa said, I had nothing to fear from this child. It's the eighth. They were not in prison at the time. But then Narada Muni came. He has his own internal purposes. He's very much an agent of the Yogamaya potency of the Lord. And he told Kamsa that, I was there when the demigods were meeting together with the sages, and the Lord promised that he would appear in the Yadu dynasty, and the demigods are also going to appear. So anyone who was born at this time could be the cause of your death. So Kamsa changed his mind about his leniency toward Devaki and Vasudev, arrested them, put them in prison, and never let them out after that for years and years. And every child that was born, he immediately killed them. But his real fear was for the eighth child. So he had already killed six children. Balaram appeared to be a miscarriage. When Devaki was pregnant for the eighth time, Kamsa was just in total anxiety, waiting to kill that child, knowing if I don't kill him, he will kill me. So here's a typical example of material life. For everything Kamsa wanted, he got. But he lived in misery. He wanted to be the most powerful person in the world, and he was. He wanted all the other asuras to surrender to him and be his servant, and they did. He wanted all the Andaka and Bhoja and Yadu dynasty to be under his exclusive rulership. He put his father in prison, killed anybody who was in any way opposing him. He became the king. And there was no one in the world that could possibly stand up to oppose him. Being the king, he had inconceivable wealth. He perfected mystic yogic siddhis so he could perform supernatural feats. He had unprecedented strength. He had everything that he ever wanted. But yet, he lived in misery. He couldn't enjoy any of it because he was constantly worrying about this eighth child who wasn't even born. Srila Prabhupada tells the story of how Maya just knows how to make everyone frustrated, whoever we are. He gives the example of the tiger, the king of the jungle. There is no animal that the tiger is afraid of. Either you run in fear of the tiger or you offer obeisances and pray for mercy. That's all. The tiger's the strongest. The tiger is king. But yet, Srila Prabhupada said there's a certain type of little tiny bird, very tiny little bird, that flies and lands on the tiger's back. Now, the tiger can kill elephants, panthers, everything. What to speak of little humans. But the tiger can't reach on his back. Can't bite what's on his back. Doesn't have the yogic siddhis to put his claws behind his back. And the little bird just rides on his back, and wherever the tiger goes, the bird says this little song. And the translation of the song is, "The tiger's coming." And every animal, when they know the tiger's coming, they run away before the tiger comes. So the tiger can't get anything to eat. See, if the tiger was a vegetarian, it would be no problem. Because he doesn't eat vegetables, he eats meat. Therefore, every animal And the tiger usually attacks at night. But here, the birds have loud, even little birds have such loud voices. The tiger's coming, the tiger's coming. As soon as the tiger would come in the neighborhood of the jungle, every animal would run away. There would be no deers, there would be no boars, nothing. So the tiger's in total anxiety because he can't find anything to eat. And this little tiny bird, who the elephant could just, it's like a little chickpea to the tiger. As far as eating, he can't reach him. There's nothing he could do about this bird. So regardless of being the king with all prowess, still, something in this world puts you in anxiety. Kamsa, the more you have, the more you fear that you could lose. His fear was so great. He had renounced all morality to kill 6 infant babies with his own hands just to enjoy his kingdom. He was willing to engage in such sins. And he knew philosophy. He was a profound philosopher in theory. He knew the laws of karma. He knew what he was risking in his next lives just so that he could enjoy in this life. And this 8th child would be the one that kills him. It was for certain, and he knew it in his heart of hearts. Therefore, he's saying, as soon as he gets this news, here is Kala, the supreme time factor, which has taken birth to kill me. But in his heart of heart, due to his attachments, he was under such illusion, he still had the conviction that he could kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the extent of illusion. So Yogamaya was playing such a good role. She cried, and she cried so loud. She cried calling Kamsa to come. When the guards heard it, they ran to Kamsa, immediately said, "The 8th child is born." And here we find Kamsa. Fear, anxiety, miserable state of mind. He was in perfect physical health, but his mind was in turmoil. So what happiness was his physical health? What happiness was his mystic cities? When the mind is disturbed, nothing can give you happiness. The mind has more effect on a human being than the body. Even if you're sick, if you're in a good state of mind, you can be happy. We've seen devotees whose bodies were at the total end, suffering miserable diseases. Right here in this temple room, Stoka Krishna Prabhu was brought when he was in his last days, yes, for Pushyabhishek, was it? And he couldn't walk. He was emaciated. Cancer was in every part of his body. He was smiling, blissful, and so happy to see the deities. Because his mind was happy. He was happy. But even if your body is in perfect physical condition, like Kamsa, if your mind's in anxiety, you're totally miserable. Krishna tells in Gita that the mind is the best friend for one who controls it. And the mind is the worst enemy for one who cannot control it. Real peace is peace of mind. That famous story in Calcutta during World War II, the Japanese Air Force was bombing Calcutta. The bombs were dropping all over. And the air raids were blasting. And there were people, there were microphones calling out the military, everybody go into the air raid shelters. People were going down underground to escape the bombs. Bombs were really dropping. And explosions and fire. Srila Prabhupada was cooking puris. People ran. He was a grihasta then. Abhay, abhay, the bombs are dropping. Come to the, come underground. Prabhupada smiled. He said, I am cooking puris for Krishna. He was not afraid. He was not disturbed. He said, if Krishna wants to come in the form of these bombs, I will have nice prasad for him. Ultimately, Krishna tells us that I am death personified. Devotee sees Krishna in everything. Devotee sees Krishna everywhere. And when you're Krishna conscious, Bhajahure mana sri nanda nandana abhaya charanaravindare. This is the prayer of Govinda Das. One of the famous and favorite prayers of our whole Gaudiya Sampradaya, and Srila Prabhupada especially would love to sing this prayer. He's praying to his mind. My dear mind, please worship the feet of Sri Nandanandana. Because if you do, you become Abhaya Charanaravindare. By taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, Sri Krishna, you become fearless. When you're fearless, you're happy in every situation. Whatever may happen in this world of uncertainties, Adiatmaka, Adidaivaka, Adibhautika. Miseries caused by one's own body. Miseries caused by other people, whether they intentionally do it or not. Miseries caused by natural disturbances. There is just so much out of our control. So much that could happen to loved ones or loved ones can do to us. Willingly or unwillingly, that could cause such chaos in our lives, our own health. What to speak of the environment? But if we understand the eternal nature of the soul and understand that Krishna is Suhradam Sarva Bhutanam, he's the benefactor and best friend of everyone. And when we take shelter of Krishna, we're happy because we have Krishna. Then we're fearless because everything else is a detail if we have Krishna. We deal with the details. It's our duty, our dharma. Behind it all is Sanatana Dharma, our relation with Krishna. Vasudeva explained this principle to Kamsa. It's not worth committing sinful activities just to try to sustain one's body. Because you get a little bit of comfort, but you suffer mentally, and in the next lives you have to suffer all the bad karma. It's not worth it. But without Krishna consciousness, without understanding the higher principle of shelter of Krishna, it's very difficult to apply these logical, common sense principles in life. In Kali Yuga, the least common thing that there is common sense. Common sense is so uncommon. So many times when people hear Krishna conscious philosophy, they say, yes, that's what I always knew, it's just that I never acknowledged it. Yes, it just makes so much sense. Because we're so distracted by attachments. And when there's attachments, there's fear. Because all of our attachments are endlessly vulnerable on every level. But when we take shelter of Krishna, we can become fearless. Little Prahlad, he was fearless because he took shelter of Krishna. He had hardly any physical strength. He had no wealth. He had nothing. He's just a 5-year-old boy. His father was the most powerful man in the universe. His father took everything away from Prahlad and was committed to take away Prahlad's life as well. Prahlad was happy. He was peaceful because he was remembering Krishna. Hiranyakashipu had everything except that. Prahlad had nothing except that. Hiranyakashipu had everything except that. And who was happy? Kamsa had everything except that. And he's miserable, fearful. So the little baby Yogamaya cries, and she's basically calling Kamsa, come and see what you can do to me. And she's an infant baby that was just born. This is sometime in the early morning. She was just born a few hours before. She was born at midnight. Yes? A little after midnight, because Krishna was born at midnight, and she was the younger sister. So she's only a few hours old. And she looked like just like a little baby, only a few hours old. This very tiny, those little fingers of baby-born children, you see them, it looks like if you breathe on them, they will break. They look so fragile. And Yogamaya's in that little girl. Kamsa comes running to that place with his full force, aggressively determined to kill the baby immediately. He killed 6 other baby children, but this was the one. In the prophecy that was the very cause of all of his terrorism, it was all based on this 8th child. So he saw the atrocities of the 6 children before in his fear of the 7th. But they really were only indirectly connected. So try to put yourself in Kamsa's frame of mind when he was running to the prison cell to kill this baby. He didn't know if it was a boy or girl. He just heard that the child was born. He, Kamsa, was in absolute, total desperation for his survival. And since this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is so exciting. I'm not going to go beyond this. We will see in tomorrow's verse what takes place. Is there any questions? Yes, bro. For any of you who know the story, don't tell anyone else. Yes.
Maharaj, you are speaking about the purport and the translation. There is mention about the time factor. How time destroys everything. So we have spent some years in devotional life, but we always have a fear that we will be also facing our death. Death will be coming, we'll be miserable at that time. Everything is going out of, will be going out of our control. So always I used to have a, so to say, fear that there should be some indication from Krishna or some signal should be there, because at that time everything is going to go out of our control. Body is not going to give us support. We might not be able to think of Krishna. We might not be able to remember Krishna. At the time might be very, very tragic. At that time everything is going to go away. At that time there should be some signal from Krishna giving him some solace or some type of a thing by which we get some solace that I'll get some benefit from whatever I've done in devotional life and I might get some causeless mercy. So can you just tell us what type of a thing, that solace, can we can expect from Krishna at that critical juncture of our life?
From everything that you speak, we are very happy to hear, because Krishna's process is working perfectly for you. You see, if you had solace now, you wouldn't take shelter. The solace is in taking shelter. Yes, we understand that at the time of death, we're in a very helpless condition. And only Krishna can save us. Yes? And we can attain the ultimate perfection at the time of death if we just remember Krishna. Antakale chamameva smaran bhakva kalevaram. We just remember Krishna at the time of death. For sure we attain Krishna. Therefore, if we're complacent, we won't prepare ourselves. But your state of mind is you're actually concerned. So we prepare ourselves in our life for that final exam by taking shelter of satsang, the association of devotees, by taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, not just reading it as a scholarly study, but taking shelter. We take shelter of the holy name, not only because we're supposed to do it, but because Krishna's there to give himself to us in his name. This type of enthusiasm is inspired by the shelter that we feel that we desperately need. If we don't feel that serious need, then we don't take shelter. You can't take shelter in a complacent mood. You can't take shelter when you're feeling soulless from so many other things. So actually, the intensity of the feeling of your heart is the solace that Krishna is giving you. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the solace. The holy name is the solace. Our seva is our solace. The holy name is our solace. and the fear, the concern in your heart is an impetus for us to take shelter of the real solace. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the six children that were killed by Kamsa. They are called the Satgarbhas. The great son of Brahma, Maricha, he had six children. And they committed an offense to Lord Brahma. Therefore, they were cursed to take birth in the family of demons. And later on, they were cursed to be killed by their own father in their past life. And that was Kamsa. He would become Kamsa. It's a long story. They became the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu, yes? And they went and did tapasya and got blessings. And Hiranyakashipu was so angry with them because they didn't get his blessings before going to get the blessings of Brahma. So he cursed them. And ultimately, these six children, their only purpose is they just wanted to get out of the way these curses and go back to their position as devotees, which they did. They got ultimate spiritual perfection through this process. But Maricha represents the mind, and the six children represent the six enemies of the mind: lust, anger, envy, arrogance, greed, and illusion. And they must be killed for the mind to become purified. Balaram represents the original guru, who actually prepares the mind and the heart for Krishna's arrival. Kamsa represents fear of material existence. And Devaki represents a devotee. So Srila Prabhupada explains it in this way, that when the devotee has a healthy fear of material existence, represented by Kamsa, then a devotee takes shelter of Krishna through the instructions of the guru, who's Baladev, original guru. And by taking shelter, then the six enemies of the mind are killed: lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. Our fear of material existence, represented by Kamsa, is an impetus to us, for us to take shelter, as Devaki did. And then when these enemies are killed, then Krishna appears within our heart and gives us full shelter forever.
Of Srimad Bhagavatam, but in Bhagavatam also there are some stories that really makes us shaken up, like a story of Jad Bharat. He was really perfect, but he got an attack attached to little bit deer, and he has to take on a birth of deer, then a Jad Bharat and everything. Then there is another story of Chitraketu Maharaj. He was also almost perfect, and some problem came up and he has to become Vratrasura and again purification. When all these stories makes us really shaken up that we don't have perfection, and the Bhagavatam is making it very clear that you have to be 100% perfect, otherwise you can go through this process itself And when we think about this process, again, we get shaken up, oh, that bhav, it is not so easy. Only chanting, dancing, and this thing doesn't going to take us to that topmost platform, because the Bhagavatam is giving this type of stories also. So how to get that assurance that I just have to hear, chant, and serve the devotees, and I will get the topmost platform, although I might not be so much pure like Jad Bharat or Chitraketu Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Those stories are very happy stories. You are simply misunderstanding. They're giving us lessons. Two lessons. We shouldn't offend devotees. Yes? Chichiketu, even though he didn't mean to, still he offended a devotee, so we should be very careful not to make offenses. And with Bharat Maharaj, we need the association of devotees. Otherwise, however advanced we are, Maya will trick us unless we have good association. So those are good lessons. However advanced we think we are, we need to avoid offenses, and we need the association of devotees. But even if we make a mistake, these stories, it's not that they had some horrible next birth. They were both paramhamsas in their next birth, but they just had to take birth again. Yes? Jad Bharat wasn't a bad birth. He became the guru of the king of the world. Yes? He was a self-realized soul. But he realized the mistake he made and he had to take birth, but it was a very exalted birth. And Chichiketu, Vritrasura, he may have been in the body of a demon, but he was a paramhamsa. Some of the most important verses in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, in all the Vedic literatures, are Vritrasura Uvacha. The words of Vritrasura, his prayers. So Krishna didn't take away their... They made mistakes to teach us what we should be careful of, but at the same time, Krishna didn't take away their bhakti. They restored their bhakti, and they were in situations where they really understood, they were totally humbled and increased their bhakti. Jad Bharat was more advanced than Bharat Maharaj. Yes? And Vritrasura was more advanced than Chitraketu. They were inconceivably progressing. And in those two births of Jad Bharat and Vritrasura, they both undoubtedly attained the ultimate destination of the spiritual world. It showed us how to do it. So these are very... These stories give us infinite hope. Neha bikramana sosti. Nothing's lost in Krishna consciousness if we're sincere. But also teaching us we should guard against offenses. And also we have to very guard against, understand the power of Maya. Even the mode of goodness could trap us. Therefore we need to experience that higher taste in the association of devotees. Does that answer your question? So these particular two stories give us so much solace. Haribo. Any other question? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is quite the opposite question of what Anand Vrindavan Prabhu asked. We feel that death is a distant possibility, a theoretical possibility. Our concerns are entirely material. We think these are pressing and urgent requirements, our material anxieties and fears. We hardly worry about death. And on the contrary, we feel, oh, we have come to Krishna consciousness. We have the association of devotees. We are protected. as far as our next life is concerned. But right now, the fears are, what will I do tomorrow? The problem that is facing me right now, how am I going to tackle that? Our engagement is entirely in this form, that our spiritual life is not that serious. There is very much an element of complacency in our spiritual life. How can we make death a real fear in our lives, so that that will be the most urgent, most pressing issue to be addressed?
This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada could have named it the International Society for Death Consciousness. Fear of death is not to make us miserable. The understanding, padam padam yadvi padam nate sham, helps us to be conscious of Krishna. It's not that we walk around looking around for something or someone to kill us 24 hours a day. That's what Kamsa is doing. But according to Narada Muni, Kamsa was Krishna conscious because he knew that Krishna was going to kill him. So his fear of death was specifically and directly fear of Krishna. In fact, Narada Muni was praying that he doesn't have near the intensity of Krishna consciousness as Kamsa. Yes? Because Kamsa was 24 hours a day thinking of Krishna in fear, because he knew that Krishna would be the cause of his... because nothing else and no one else could kill Kamsa. Only Krishna could. So his fear of Krishna was his Krishna consciousness, but it was unfavorable, because he didn't want to serve Krishna and please Krishna. He wanted to kill Krishna. But still he was thinking of Krishna. So Rupa Goswami tells us, somehow or other, remember Krishna, and that's the perfection of your life. So our fear should not make us miserable. If we actually process that fear of death in taking shelter of Krishna, we become happy. Prabhupada said, didn't say chant Hare Krishna and be miserable. He said chant Hare Krishna and be happy. To the degree we take shelter of Krishna, we will find fearlessness and happiness. So the fear is not meant to make us fearful. The fear is to make us fearless. Hari Hari. The fear is to make us happy, because we take shelter of Krishna. So we take shelter of Krishna. Our daily sadhana is a time we put aside specifically and exclusively to be with Krishna. And we try to add Krishna to every aspect of our lives. Yat karoshi rashnasi yat juhoshi tadasya yat tapasyasi kondaya tat kurushvam darpanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, all austerities, whatever we do should be done as an offering to Krishna. Patram pushpam palam doyo. Whatever we do, even if we offer a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water to Krishna with devotion, Krishna accepts it. Daivyeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. This material nature is a very dangerous place, very difficult to overcome. But one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. So devotees should be happy. Devotees are not just walking around in total paranoia, afraid of death. The concept of death is not supposed to make us paranoid, neurotic, psychologically deranged, and fearful.
It's simply to give us the proper understanding that nothing can give me shelter except Krishna. Instead of taking shelter of the sources of misery, knowledge of the inevitability of death helps us to take shelter of the source of all happiness, Krishna. So yes, every day we have so many fears in our business, in our relationship. There's so many things that can happen to anyone at any time, and we have to struggle in this world. But the reminder of death, that all this stuff is going to perish, and how the soul is eternal, and Krishna's loving smile is constantly there, inviting us back into his eternal pastimes. We focus, and we prioritize everything according to this truth. I'll do my duties in life, but none of this is going to make me happy. But if I do my duties focused around pleasing Krishna, then it will make me happy. It will make everyone happy, because it will make Krishna happy. This is Krishna consciousness. And bhakti is a principle where we don't have to renounce everything and go to the mountains to live as renounced ascetics. We could live within the world and just keep Krishna in the center and find total shelter of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has given us the formula how we could live in this world according to Gita's teachings. But death is a blessing, because unless we're reminded of the fallible soldiers of this world, we will take shelter of them. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada just tells it as it is. He says, our life and all of our relatives and all of our possessions, all of our accomplishments, everything we're attached to in this world, he said, in reality, it's just like a little foaming bubbles on the surface of the ocean of material existence. What is the significance of one little bubble, or even a little cluster of bubbles, on the ocean of material existence? And yes, we're thinking it's all in all. Prabhupada says that all of these bubbles at any moment are going to burst into oblivion. Like that. Material, the ocean of material existence, all our attachments, all our cravings, our body, our wealth, our home, our everything, at any moment. As far as material existence goes, that's its significance. Burst, like that, into oblivion. And in the same chapter, Prabhupada says that this body that we're living in, he says it's a dead corpse flapping for a few moments only. And yet we're centering so much importance, like Kamsa, that we're willing to kill and we're willing to sin and we're willing to engage in so many cruel acts just for this. Najayate mriyate vakadachin. But the soul is eternal. For the soul there is no birth, no death. And we are the soul, the Atma. And Krishna, mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. He is the controller of material nature. He is the controller of all spiritual and material worlds. And he's Rasa Bihari. He's enjoying beautiful pastimes. He's Gopinath, playing on his flute, calling us back to the spiritual world. So nice, so happy. So we should live not in fear, we should live in happiness. But in order to find that happiness, we have to take shelter of Krishna and not be bewildered by Maya trying to trick us to take shelter of all of these temporary illusions. Yes, if you're chasing after a mirage in a desert, and somebody says it's a mirage, go this way. There's real oasis. There's real water in this direction. But in that direction, it only looks like water. But it's sand. And when you taste the sand there, then there'll be another mirage just a little further up, and another, birth after birth after birth. So to understand that this is not the real happiness we're looking for, this is not the real shelter, it's over here. That's what all the descriptions of the miseries of material existence are simply meant to accomplish, that to divert you from the illusion to the truth. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy every day. And if you're not happy, understand why. It's because I'm not finding shelter in Krishna. And if you're happy in all these material things, we should understand it's all going to burst into oblivion. So not to look for happiness in these things. Look for happiness in Krishna. And use all the things to give Krishna happiness. The things of this world are sacred. If we use them to make Krishna happy, then we automatically become happy. Yes, you had a question.
And thank you for the class, Guru Maharaj. And I have a question, is that Krishna, as a form of color, is death personified toward materialistic people. So what is this form of color toward devotee?
Color is time. Color is taking away everything moment by moment. We understand that Krishna's appearance within this world is especially prominent in the form of time.
Sorry. And my question is that, what is this role of color to devotee? What devotees see this form of color? As for materialistic people, they see color as death personified. So how devotees see color?
Arjuna was a devotee. And Krishna showed him his Virat Rupa and said, This is me in the form of time, destroyer of everything. And Arjuna got enlightened seeing it and said, now Krishna, show me your two-handed form again. So similarly, when we understand the universal form and we understand Krishna in the form of time, we simply want to take shelter. It helps us, like it did Arjuna. Arjuna really took shelter of Krishna when he saw the Virat Rupa. So when we see, we hear, and we know the power of Krishna in the form of time, we offer our obeisances as Arjuna did, and we take shelter of Krishna, the all-beautiful, all-merciful, all-loving performer of eternal pastimes in Vrindavan and Sri Radha, the motherly, loving, compassionate protector of devotees. Krishna's form of time is there to help us to take shelter of Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
When Chand Kazi was persecuting the devotees, Lord Chaitanya was very angry. He said, today I will lead the kirtan. Today there will be a great monsoon storm of ecstatic love of Krishna through the chanting of the holy names that is going to inundate all of Navadvipa. Today, chanting the holy names with torches in hands, I will personally stand at the doorstep of Chand Kazi. I will stand before him as time personified, and let us see what he does to me. Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya went, his kirtan, and himself, when he was at the door of Chand Kazi, Lord Chaitanya, his name being chanted by millions of people, he was there at the doorstep as time personified. Chand Kazi ran to a hiding place. He hid himself. But there was nowhere for him to hide. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him and he came. And that, the night before, he had a dream of Narasingha Dev, who really was time personified in front of him. He started tearing his chest open and growling very angrily. So he saw time personified, as Lord Chaitanya predicted. But then what did he do? He took shelter. He took shelter of Lord Chaitanya. He took shelter of the holy name. And he became one of the greatest, most worshipable devotees. Even today, we go to his tomb in the form of the tree, Chand Kazi. So he saw the Lord directly as time. And it induced him to take shelter of the beautiful, loving form of Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, giving the love of Radha to the world. So that's how we should see. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Bolina Pradhanath Swami Maharaj ki jai.